Hear that? Believe it or not, summer is just around the corner. Luckily, Armor All, America's most trusted auto appearance brand, has what your car needs to get that perfect summer shine. Plus, now through May 31st, we'll give you $5 for every $20 you spend on Armor All products. That means car wash pods, protectant, tire shine, you name it. Find out how to get your $5 rebate at ArmorAll.com. Armor All, less work, more clean. Terms apply.
On today's podcast, I'm going to be chatting with Fast Fuel Systems. Wanted to ask them some questions about which lift pump system would you need for different trucks, different applications. Want to go through those details, plus chat with them about, you know, they're always at shows, always going to diesel events, and there was a major one that was canceled for next year. And I wanted to ask them about the details of it. I know it took the internet by storm. And so I wanted to see what was really going on and what the future of events may hold. Plus, we're going to chat a bit about the Fast EGR system, which we had talked about on a previous podcast. Want to get caught up on that. So really looking forward to today's podcast. Before we get to it, though, I want to give a shout out to a couple sponsors that help make the Diesel Podcast possible. The first is Target Sports USA. If you're anything like me, there's also hobbies you have outside of diesel trucks, whether that's hunting, hitting the range, competition. Target Sports USA has a ton of product, ton of different options, and they have a really cool membership program. If you go to targetsportsusa.com/dieselPC, it'll take you to the membership page. It's $99 for a year, and with that, you get free shipping on every order, whether it's one box or 20 boxes. And there's an 8% discount you get automatically on any product that you're looking at. And a couple different times throughout the year, the discount will also go to 16%. So it's a great way to save some money, get some cool gear, whether you're, you know, need something to zero at the range or stocking up. It's really cool. Plus, there's two giveaways that you automatically get entered into. The first is an all expense paid hunting trip to Colorado. So it includes airfare, lodging, accommodations, 6 days. It's guided, includes the licensing fees as well, plus complimentary meat processing and then shipping back to you. So it's a great way to get entered to win a once-in-a-lifetime hunting trip, all expense paid. Really cool they're offering that. Plus, they also give away an F-150 every year. We know it's a diesel podcast, talk about diesel trucks, but I know there's a lot of you guys out there that have daily drivers, don't want to put the mileage on your older diesel truck, or just need something, you know, for business work, something for fun. So it's a great way to be entered to win that as well. So just go to targetsportsusa.com/dieselPC, and it has all the details right there. Also, Kershaw Knives, we appreciate their support. If you're in the market for a knife for hunting, fishing, EDC, something around the job site, something around the house, they've got a complete lineup of knives to meet any budget and tons of different choices with different opening mechanisms, blade steel, blade shape, handle materials. It's something if you need for EDC, hunting, fishing, around the job site, around the house, they've definitely got you covered there. Use code 2024DIESEL40 for 40% off MSRP and save some money. All right, let's get to today's podcast. Jake, welcome to Diesel Podcast. How's it going?
Good, Patrick. Thanks for having me, man.
Yeah, I appreciate you being willing to chat with me while you're on the road going to some truck shows and different things that are going on. And wanted to chat with you for a while. I love the videos that you do at Fast. But for any of our listeners who haven't seen you, haven't seen the videos you do, tell us a bit about yourself, what you do at Fast.
Yeah. So I'm the marketing director for Fast Fuel Systems. Basically, I have a team that I work with every day that we run everything from the website, the SEO, social media, all that good stuff, down to social media, down to thank you cards. I mean, we handwrite thank you cards for all of our apparel sales. So I guess the easy way to say it, touch point we have with our customers, any interaction we have with our customers out in the public is ultimately my responsibility. And I also make TikToks. So
was diesel trucks something that you knew from an early age, hey, I really like these things and this is what I want to do for a career? Or did you start out in something else and then just kind of happen to fall into the diesel industry, or how did it work?
That's a great question. So growing up, I was never into sports. I tried baseball, I tried football, I tried soccer. I whatever that wiring is to watch somebody play with a ball for an hour and a half, I don't have it. So I would get, like, you know, tagged out at, or however you say it, at baseball and little league because I was watching trucks go down the road. I didn't even care. I've always been into trucks. In fact, when I was 3 years old, I was so into trucks that my mom went around town and took photos of different trucks and made me a photo album that I could flip through and just look at trucks at home. So as far as working in the industry, I didn't think it was possible. I didn't think that people could get paid to work with cool trucks. And then I found out at 27 that you can. And I had a long, weird history with different marketing jobs. I was actually a writer for full time for an agency for a long time. And then an opportunity opened up at FAST. It's 20 minutes from where I grew up, and I took it, and it's been 4 years. Yeah.
Was it, would you say the hardest part is just finding the opportunity to do it? Because I find a lot of people have an interest in trucks or a passionate, they're passionate about them, but they don't know how to take that first step or to find an opportunity. And I'm not talking about like the mechanical side, because I know shops need mechanics, they're in high demand. But when you get onto the marketing, sales, kind of the other side of it, where you want to talk about it and showcase it, it can be really tough to find those chances.
That's a very good point. My experience has been there is always a place for a combination of hard skills and passion, because there's a lot of people in this industry that are very good at their jobs, but they're not into it. And this is, there's a lot of both. There's a lot of logically based purchases, like people have to buy certain parts, they have to buy filters, they need certain things to live their lives. But there's also a large portion of this industry that is passion based. And so the people that have both skills of some kind and a drive for this industry, they want to be here, there's always a place for it. But to your point, it's, you know, if you live in a small town in the middle of Nebraska, there might not be any aftermarket companies. So there's always a job for you, but you might have to relocate to, you know, Tennessee or California or, you know, one of those similar places.
Yeah. Yeah. It's always an interesting journey to hear the journey that people come into it. Like, I didn't plan on it. I mean, I liked trucks as a kid, but I wasn't around diesels or anything. You know, I'd see like Bigfoot and Gravedigger and stuff and thought it was cool and everything. But it was later on, like in my mid-20s, late 20s, where I was like, man, this is really cool. You can make money like talking about this stuff or being involved in it. How do I find an opportunity to do it?
Yeah. Yeah. That's funny. We have a very similar story that I've always loved diesels. I grew up around them. I still remember the first time I saw a second gen Ram with bed stacks. I was 16 years old. I know exactly where I was. But I honestly couldn't really afford to play with them until, you know, my mid to late 20s. So it kind of worked out.
One of the things, like today chatting, I think you have a event or, you know, a convention or truck show you're at. And I always see you on TikTok and Instagram and everything at these different truck shows. What is it like to get out there and to be able to meet your customers or potential customers, or they're asking you about FAST products, or maybe they're not even connected to FAST, but there's a really cool truck. Like, what's that side of it like?
Not to get too cheesy. I'll get a little cheesy. To get a little cheesy, it's a reminder of why I got into this industry, because day to day, and we have a lot of fun at our office, but there's the spreadsheet side of things. There's the meeting side of things. There's the real world part of having a job like this, which I still love. But to get to these shows, to talk to customers about my truck and their trucks, and to really be able to thank, because without these guys, you know, I don't have a job. So to me, getting to go to shows is, you know, as I'm sure you know, it's exhausting. It's a lot of hours. It's a time away from home. But it's a good reminder of why I got into this industry.
That was one of the most formative events in my kind of evolution in diesel. Was I went to an event in the Midwest. This was a long 10 years ago, maybe even longer. And like the shows out west, they're a little bit different. Like there was one here in Denver, like at Bandimere Speedway. Mm-hmm. And I thought that's what truck shows were like. So I go to Indiana, and it was just eye-opening to see the whole town would like shut down. And I'd see families there like right when the gates open, and the kids are excited and they got like the Cummins t-shirt on. And it was a totally different vibe where I'm like, I don't even understand the passion that's out there. I need to learn more about it or talk to more of the people that are here. It was just something that just kind of lit a fire with seeing in different parts of the country, just how passionate people are about their trucks in the sports, like whether it was sled pulling or drag racing.
Yeah. Yeah. It's always, you know, it's so cool to see, you know, we go to these shows and, you know, you hear a lot of talk on the internet, all the industries, you know, in trouble or it's doing this. Maybe it is. We're certainly not seeing that. But, you know, I talked to these guys, and I talked to a kid this weekend. He bought his first truck at 13 years old and worked odd jobs, side jobs to pay for parts until he could drive it. I'm like, I mean, if that's the up and coming generation, then I think this industry is going to be around for a while.
I wanted to ask you about that. I was, I have another question to ask you, but that made me want to ask another one. The younger generation, because to me, like when I was getting into diesel, I was that younger generation, and the older companies or the people that I knew, it seemed they were different. They valued different things. They built their trucks different. They thought what we were doing was dumb, and they kind of dismissed what we were doing. And then that grew, and then we kind of, I guess, I mean, I'm not old, but like I kind of grew into that middle part of it. What do you see with younger people and their interest with diesel trucks? Are they just as passionate as you were? Are they just as passionate as some of the older guys you met? Or what's it like with the age difference?
Yeah, I think the biggest difference is, and this is a pretty obvious one, is the social media side of things. So there is this element, I mean, there's always a keeping up with the Joneses side to this. But I would say if there's any downside to social media with the younger generation, it is kind of that, I don't feel like as many people just enjoy their truck as they should. It's more about keeping up with your buddies and, well, this guy got bigger wheels, so I'm gonna get, forged wheels and then so on and so forth. But outside of that, I mean, like you kind of said it perfectly. I think the passion stays the same. The passion is right there. The only ch thing that changes is the style preferences or the platform preferences. But I will, it's kind of cool because, when I was coming up, the big thing was the early Duramaxes, the LBZs, and then you had 12 valve, 24 valve Cummins, and then they went to Common Rail. 7.3 power stroke, 6.0s. And I mean, it probably helps that a lot of those platforms are pre-emission, so that you're kind of free to modify how you want. But I feel like that hasn't changed. The platforms have stayed largely the same, especially among the younger crowd. They're affordable trucks, they're pre-emissions, they're less complicated in a lot of cases. So there's good and bad, but I definitely think the younger generation is very similar in their passion. It's just maybe some style preferences. I know I hear the term rubber band tires a lot. I've got them too, so it's okay.
The part that really excites me about the younger generation, because I'm between both, is I remember a time when if you wanted to learn about diesel trucks, you had to buy a magazine or you had to go on a forum. And then if you went on a forum, depending what you asked, depended on like your post count and how well known you were and everything. So there was like a hierarchy to it, right?
Get
And
bullied
then
off the forum.
you get bullied off. And the younger people that I see, they're very in tune with how to use social media, how to take a video or say something or show something, and it reached 100,000 people or 500,000 people or 1 million people. So I think the access to information and how much they embrace it is really exciting. And I find that the older enthusiasts, they've resisted it for a long time, but I'm finding they're coming around to it now. And they're saying, you know what, we do need to make an Instagram. We do need to make a TikTok. We probably should do a YouTube channel. We probably should post once a week or five times a week or whatever it might be. So it's really interesting to see how each generation is kind of fueling the other one or changing the other one and how it's being embraced.
No, you're exactly right. It's funny. I've always seen it as I don't really care, where people go, what platform. I just want to be there. I just want to be part of it. So it's funny when we, I have these conversations with some of my fellow marketing people in the industry, and they're like, "Well, I don't like that platform." And I'm like, "It's not a, whether you like it or not. It's the fact that 400 million people have downloaded that app. So why don't you make a post?"
Yeah, speaking of that, you had a really interesting video. I think I saw it on TikTok. It might have been on Instagram. But it was at, I believe, Lone Star Throwdown. And normally when we see, a video or something like that from anyone, even myself, it can be really tough to convey passion or even anger or frustration with something. And you had an experience, something happened there. And I don't want to put words in your mouth, but if you can explain to us and our listeners that may not have known what happened, and then go into your perception of it and what that video, what you were talking about in it.
So, at Lone Star Throwdown, which is a show we've been privileged to go to for 3 years now, and for those that don't know, Lone Star Throwdown is—it's not a show you just go to. It doesn't matter how big your checkbook is. If you don't know somebody or have a way in as a vendor, as a business, you don't go. They're full. They've been full for like 20 years. They don't let people in. So we very privileged. Shout out to PSE Dorian over at PSE Houston for letting us come. after the show, after this, you know, beautiful show, the weather was perfect, and there's, you know, thousands and thousands of people at this event. A handful of people, I don't know names, and even if I did, I probably wouldn't say them, decided to have some pop-up meets or takeovers, however you want to look at them, in some of the parking lots of local businesses. And we've seen it all the time. I mean, we used to attend things like that years ago. And we stopped because we realized that a city is probably fine with having a show. It's lots of money. It's lots of people, lots of hotels and restaurants, you know, make a ton of money. So any city is usually going to be fine with having a truck show. When it becomes not okay is when you have thousands of people and hundreds of trucks pour into the parking lot of their local Walmart and do burnouts for 6 hours, ruin the place, cause accidents, raise hell. And that's exactly what happened at Lone Star Throwdown. And Lone Star Throwdown's been going for 20 years. I mean, they've never had issues like this as far as I know. And it was so bad that the organizers had to meet with the Department of Homeland Security. Apparently some cop car tires got slashed and some things got stolen, and it got so far out of hand that the city of, I think, Conroe, which is where the show is, 24 hours after the show ended, pulled their license for 2025. They said, "You're never coming back. We're never doing this again." And, you know, I didn't mean to sound like a hypocrite, because again, I've participated in these late night activities. I've been there. But I realized very quickly, not only as a professional, but as a consumer, as someone who likes to go to truck shows, that it's a cyclical thing. If you have a show and people leave and destroy the town, the show ends. And it's happened over and over and over and over again. And it makes sense if you think about it. I mean, no city in their right mind would invite an event back where they know they're going to have to double their police presence and, you know, negotiate with business owners who are mad that their parking lots got destroyed and their customers couldn't get in because trucks were blocking the entrance. And it turns into a whole debacle. So I got a little in my feels, and I made a video just asking people just to, I wasn't shaming anyone. I've been there. I was just saying, let's rethink this. If we like going to truck shows, if we like to have the option to go to truck shows, this has got to find, we've got to find a different outlet. We've got to find a different way to do this, because it's a self-fulfilling prophecy. You have a show, people destroy the city, show shuts down, and that's it.
The part that really struck me is, I think the first point of contact, I'd say it's either with your family if they have a diesel truck, like your dad or grandfather or uncle or brother or somebody like that has a diesel truck, and your kid and you're around it and you like it, or you go to a show and you see it. And with the current climate of automotive, and what is it, EV, is it gas, is it hybrid, is it diesel, all the things that are going on, every guest that I have on, every company that I talk to, they have a lot of different goals, but one that they have in common is they want to bring new people into it. They want to reach younger people. They want to get somebody says, "I want to work in this. I want to engineer in this. I want to work on this stuff. I want to start a business in it." And so when I saw that video and was reading different posts about it, my mind went to that immediately, was if that's not going to happen in 2025, there could be a kid that goes to it, or a teenager, or somebody right out of college that says, "Man, this is what I want to do. I don't care about my degree. This is what I want to do." And they're not going to have that opportunity because it's not there. And that affects so much. So that's where mine went. My mind went the first time. And then, you know, it kind of hit hard that way.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's probably a much better long range view to look at it than even I was. I mean, I'm just mad because I want to go to truck shows.
I know it's happened for a long time. And, I think I saw one once when I went to Indiana, and I was like, oh my gosh, like what is, this is crazy. Like this is like shut down the whole, it was just, I don't know. It was pretty intense. And so I know there's going to be kind of that side that says, well, it's been going on forever. It's just how it is. But when you can't have the show the next year, or DHS is involved, and yeah. I've heard about Lone Star Throwdown. I don't live in Texas, but I've heard about it. I know it's really popular, and it's not going to be there next year. It's like, man, this is a big deal.
I will say this, on a positive note, there are a good number of shows here recently. I know Blake Fitzgerald to me was just last weekend, and these newer shows, it seems like, are evolving so that everything happens in one place. Your burnouts happen there. Your show and shine happens there. The after party, the concerts. And these organizers are doing a really, really, really good job of, you know, at the end of the day, you're bringing in 5, 10,000 people who like big rowdy trucks that do burnouts. So there's, you have to give them an outlet somewhere, right? They didn't drive 2 days and spend thousands of dollars to be there just to like sit in a parking lot. And, you know, a lot of these guys, they want more, they want the action. So a lot of these organizers here lately are doing a really good job of kind of evolving the show to be a one-stop shop to where there's no point in leaving because all you're going to do is get a ticket. So just stay here, do your burnouts, hang out, have fun. And it's really cool to see. That's like, I think that's kind of the next stage for a lot of these shows.
Common question we get from you guys a lot is, hey, I need a diesel engine. I either, you know, I can't wait this long to get one, or normal place I get stuff from it just takes too long, or they don't have the parts in it that I need. Maybe my truck's not stock, or I tow heavy with it. I don't want to go back with just a stock engine. DFC Diesel is a sponsor of the podcast. We worked with them, you know, hand in hand on doing episodes, answering technical questions. They have a complete lineup of Cummins, Duramax, and Powerstroke remanufactured engines that are set to a standard of ISO 9001 2015 standards, which is a huge deal in the aftermarket. And there's certain levels of quality testing, validation that are required for that. So you know when you get one of those engines, the type of quality that's built behind it with an industry-leading warranty that's really comprehensive. And you know, the other thing with that is, you know, sometimes the options that are out there, it's a basic OEM engine. You want a little bit more. You don't want to have the same failure again. So there's a bunch of different series of engines that they have, from Core, Street, Tow Haul, and also the Speed of Air series, which we've covered on the podcast before. There's a lot of really cool benefits to it. And if you have questions about that, reach out to them. If you don't know the type of engine that you're looking for, if you go to dfcdiesel.com, there's a ton of info there. You can send an email or you can reach out to them. Also, they're working with Speed of Air Pistons, which it's the only piston that pays for itself. And there's a lot of really cool technology behind it. So you can add that into your build and be able to get better fuel economy, you know, increased power, increased torque, and better engine life out of it. You know, some of the most common engine applications or series of engines that they have with that lead time, a lot of them are in stock or they have really short lead times. So you can check your favorite retailer or go to dfcdiesel.com, check them out, see what's in stock, see what you can get. If you have questions, maybe you want to do, you know, something that's outside of the normal series of engines, they have tons of choices for rods, cranks, pistons, valve train upgrades, tons of different things. So if you're in the market, definitely make sure and head on over and check them out.
I still have a question to ask you. And I know professionally and with your job, like FAS has products for Cummins, Duramax, Powerstroke, all year ranges. But when you're at these shows, is there one particular truck when you see it at a booth where you just gravitate towards it right away, whether it's an old truck, a new one, or maybe it's not even a brand, maybe it's a style or a setup?
Yeah, that's a great question. I'm a sucker for third gens. I like electrical issues and transmission problems. Third gen Cummins, my first diesel was a third gen. It was a G56 truck. And some of these shows, I mean, these guys, I don't know where they pulled their fabrication skills from, but I mean, there are, anytime I see a clean, you know, third gen 5.9 or 6.7, because those are, I mean, they're hard to keep clean these days. I mean, they're going on what, 20 years old. I'm a sucker for like a rowdy street truck, leveled or reverse leveled on a set of 33s or something with 700, 800, 900 horsepower, which is not hard to do on that platform. I mean, that to me is like the perfect truck.
It's interesting you say that because it's mine as well. I think because it's old enough that it's simple enough you can do upgrades on and not have to worry about other issues with it. But it's also new enough that you get the technology of common rail injection and some of the electronic upgrades that come with it, and you can have kind of the best of both worlds. And it's just that classic body style. That's my favorite Dodge or Ram body style between the different generations is that third gen. I can't really decide between 03, 05 and 06, 07. They're really close, but I just love that body style.
Yeah, that to me, that style will it'll never age. It's a timeless look. And yeah, like you said, common rail, easy to modify. If you go early, you know, you stay away from the 6.7. Those are very easy to modify, legally anyway. Yeah, so it's an awesome platform.
I saw one of the videos that you did recently was about 6.9 IDIs, maybe even 7.3 IDIs. And so you're at these shows, you're talking with people, you're talking with other companies, FAS and the products you guys make, it's so, to me, early on in the process of upgrading a truck, whether you're going for a daily driver tow build or you're going for a race build, you're going to use a FAS product. So you get to see all different sides of diesel performance. Are you guys seeing more of an interest in those older trucks and people gravitating towards, whether it's IDIs or 7.3 Power Strokes or first gens? Are you seeing more of that?
Yeah, it's funny. We get a what I consider a disproportionate amount of interest for like the 6.5 GM turbo diesel. Before we launched that product, which we launched last year, I mean, we were seeing 5, 10, 15 requests a week on social media, and we weren't even really talking about it. People just say, oh, that's a cool system. By the way, do you have one for my 6.5? So to answer your question, yeah, we get, it's almost a joke now on our social media because we've gotten so many requests for OBS specific 7.3 Power Stroke system. And it's just, obviously the dual tank setup makes things a little more complicated. So it's been a long process. But we get, daily questions about these older trucks. And it kind of goes back to what I said earlier. It seems like, especially for the younger crowd, they're more affordable. You learn to wrench, because if you buy an old diesel, you're going to wrench. And they're pre-emissions. So it's kind of open-ended on the modification side. So we see a ton of interest on the old stuff. I mean, we get asked daily about, first gen 12 valves and OBS 7.3s and all that stuff.
Is that how the new product releases can sort of work, where you're like, hey guys, we're getting like 50 requests a week or a month for this. We need to do something. And then people are like, all right, let's invest some R&D into making this kit.
There's a good relationship between my department and the engineering department. So they set their own schedule, but they're definitely very receptive to feedback, which just usually means me annoying them until they give me an answer that I like. But we first and foremost is going to be your model year. So we always keep up with model years to the best of our ability. As soon as a new platform comes out, or, if and when the sixth gen Ram comes out, that'll be our top priority until that's solved. But there it's both. There's a little bit, there's also a lot of platforms, a lot of people that aren't in diesel professionally, they don't realize just how many platforms there are. I mean, there's dozens of engines and configurations and platforms that we don't even touch, and our product catalog is pretty extensive. So there's always, 5, 6 new systems in development.
One of the really cool things about FAS is, I'm kind of going down like memory lane here, is the name FAS, to me, it became synonymous with doing a lift pump upgrade. Like when, I would ask, or somebody would be talking about, oh, what upgrade should I do? They'd say, I'll put a FAS on. That's the first thing you should do. Almost like Kleenex, if you say, hand me a Kleenex or something like that. Like it's almost synonymous with the brand. And I was curious, with all these shows that you go to and the people you talk to, what are some common questions people ask? Like, I'll throw one out to you to start is, well, which kit do I need? What gallon per hour rating? If I go more than I need, does it hurt the truck? Is there any downside to that? Like which one? Because there's a lot of different choices that you guys have. How does somebody pick the right kit for their truck? And then, what are some common ones you get when you're out on the road?
Yeah, so that's a great question. And that is easily the number one question. What do I need? What size do I need? And it's a two-part answer. So we'll always try to find out more about the truck. Now, to be clear, most of the systems we sell go on stock trucks or nearly stock trucks, because the benefits of filtration apply to everyone. And the more miles you're putting on your truck, the more you benefit from it. So a lot of the trucks we put systems on or sell systems for are bone stock. Maybe they're tuned. So when people ask about what size system do they need, what gallon per hour, we always ask about horsepower. How much horsepower are you making? What's your horsepower goal long term? Because there's no harm in oversizing your system. Let's say you have, a bone stock 6.7 Cummins fourth gen. That truck does not need bone stock, even tuned, does not need more than 100 gallons per hour, right? 100 gallons per hour will cover you up to 600 wheel horsepower, sometimes more depending on the setup. But we always ask, because you can throw, if you want to, you can throw a 290 on there. It's going to make some more noise because it's a race pump at that point. There is no harm in oversizing your system, especially if you have plans. If you have 100% over injectors and an S472, well, go ahead and buy the bigger fuel system. You're going to use it anyway. You'll have a little bit noise for a short amount of time, and then once you have all those other parts on there, you're not going to hear it anyway. And any unused fuel, simply it just gets cleaned and returned to the tank. No harm done. That said, we don't like to sell anyone anything they don't need. It's bad for them. It's bad for us. So we always will default to sizing the system towards what your definitive plans, what you are for sure doing horsepower wise, or where you're currently at. There's no filtration advantage to getting a bigger system than you're going to need. And we certainly don't benefit from it. So all the filtration is the same across every system. So I don't know if that answers your question, but yeah, that's kind of how we try to dice that up for sizing systems.
Yeah, definitely. I think that helps. That helps people that are looking into doing that, because it's become something, I think, through like videos and information you guys have and podcasts and YouTube and other things, is I found truck owners are focusing more on the quality of fuel they get at the pump. And how it may be lacking or does lack in certain ways, and what can I do to protect either this really expensive truck I just bought or this older truck that I want to keep for a while because I always wanted that third gen, or I always wanted that LB7, yeah. Or I always wanted this Power Stroke. When they get into, say, more like maintenance questions, I'm thinking of that side. Say somebody they bought a truck and it has a FAS on it, or they already installed one. Are there any tips you would give them as far as either maintenance of it or when to check the water separator, when to change the fuel filters, kind of just maintaining one of those kits?
Yeah, that's a great question. So let's just say if you buy a truck with a FAS on it, first thing I would do, and fuel filter changes on our system are like $55. It's not a big investment. Change your fuel filters. A lot of people, they'll put a FAS on and it's often a very hidden product. And unless you're paying attention or you have a maintenance schedule, written out somewhere, it's easy to forget to change them. I've done it. So if you're buying a truck with the fast $55-$60, change your fuel filters. That way, they're good. They're good for 20 to 30,000 miles. So you're good for a while. Other than that, the maintenance is pretty simple. I mean, if you have a platform where you have a fast and then you have a factory filter downstream, you can change that factory filter, but often we recommend people delete it on most platforms. I know that's a dirty word, but get rid of that factory filter because any filter that's downstream of our system it's a dummy filter. There's nothing left for that to take out because our filtration goes down to 2 micron and most, if not all OEM filters can't even touch that. So change your filters. And then if you have any extra filtration that you can remove or delete, it's just one less thing to think about. In a lot of cases, it kind of cleans up the engine bay, allows you to get rid of some stuff.
What's the fast EGR rollout been like? Because we did an episode with you guys about it. I found a lot of interest. A lot of people on YouTube they really gravitated towards that episode we did. What's it been like from your perspective?
So it's funny. That one's been really, really good. Especially people like yourself that understand the industry from a professional perspective, kind of that you have that 10,000 foot view of what's been going on. A lot of interest there. A lot of people, a lot of our shops are hopefully going to end up stocking it as a daily item. There has also been the side of, you get the comments every day. Well, I know how to fix an EGR. I'm like, well, yeah. And we're not, we're not telling people that doesn't exist. We understand, certainly why people do it. But at the end of the day, doing certain things is very illegal in the United States and getting harder to do reliably. So there's just this kind of harsh reality of, these emission systems for a lot of people, they have to stay on, but they don't have to harm your truck. So it's overall, it's been very positive.
That was one of the sides of it that really jumped out to me, because in the past, you either had to live with it or do something else. There was no in between. And I find a lot of the conversations I have with people, they can live with the idea of a DPF and DEF. They don't necessarily like it, but they can live with it. But it's an idea of what's coming off the exhaust manifold, going back into the intake, going right back into the, the head. It bothered them so much. So
yeah,
when we learned about this product and we're talking about it, I was like, here's something in the middle that you have an option now.
Yeah, and that's exactly right. And the way that I kind of simplified it, which is not completely accurate, but if you think of the EGR as a garden hose running from your tailpipe into your air intake, well, with our EGR kit, you can either have a filter in between or not, kind of up to you. And we're hoping it's a very popular product. We know the adoption process is going to take a while because, like I said, as we all know, for a long time now, there has been a fix for the EGR, but that's going away, and we're really excited to see what it can do.
One of the questions I wanted to ask you before we finish up is you have some really good videos on things that are coming up in the auto industry. Like I
Oh,
saw
thank
one about like the 68 RFE and it had like
you.
a start date and an end date. And I think there was one about the potentially next Cummins engine, and there's different things you do. Is there one or a couple of things that you've come across that really interest you as a diesel enthusiast?
Yeah. First and foremost, as a Cummins guy, I have a fourth gen with a 68. I have a spare 68 at the shop, actually, because I know what those transmissions do. I'm very excited to see the Cummins powertrain evolve. We all know they've had some chronic issues for almost 20 years now that if theoretically, we're getting rid of the 68 and the Eisen's good. I won't badmouth the Eisen, but we're going to this new 8-speed. Potentially the Cummins could be more bulletproof than it's ever been as a platform. That's really exciting. And then I know there's a lot of rumors about it, but I'm also very excited to see what the next generation of Duramax does. The L5P is unbelievably capable, even in stock form. And if they do end up going to something, like an 8 liter, 8.3 liter displacement, I mean that's a seriously powerful, platform already. So yeah, the powertrain evolutions for 2024, 2025, and 2026 are very interesting to me.
The displacement increases really, they really interested me because as they grow larger, there's this whole process that unfolds in the aftermarket where somebody gets one of these trucks, something you got to find where something breaks. And then the engine companies and the valvetrain companies and everyone gets involved to try to figure out, is it bulletproof? Is this an issue and fix it? But when I think of something that large and the power that it's going to make just bone stock right off the lot. People used to spend a lot of money to get 600 horsepower or even 500. You think about it like you're in for a
Yeah.
transmission on a 5.9, you're in for some valvetrain upgrades, turbo injectors, maybe some pump upgrades. Now you just buy a truck and it's already there.
Yeah, it's wild to see, even these kids these days, they're spending on these pre-emissions trucks, they're $5,000, $10,000, $15,000 deep to make 450 wheel horsepower. And make no mistake, 450, anything above 400 horsepower is rowdy in a truck like that. So to see them coming off the line at, 500 in the HO Power Stroke. And, I think the HO, the high output Cummins is 420 horsepower. I mean, I remember having to floor my grandpa's 12 valve to get up a hill. I mean, it's wild.
Yeah, the transmission side of it that you mentioned, that also really kind of piqued my interest as well because I'm a Cummins guy as well. That's what I started with, and I love the styling, I love the engine. But over the years, I found myself when I've contemplated buying a new truck, I don't want a 68 RFE, and so I've looked towards Ford or I've looked towards GM, and if they're able to take something and just have it be more robust, handle a little bit more power that these aftermarket companies are developing for it. I mean, it's just a home run. And it would be really cool to see because it never really kind of went like that. Like, I know 47, 48 REs, they could be built to handle tons of power, but when we're talking stock trucks, it wasn't necessarily as strong as a 4100 or an Allison 5-speed. So it always kind of lagged behind a bit. And it would be cool to see that change a little.
Yeah, there's I would say, and people ask me all the time, what's your favorite platform? And I've been very fortunate to drive every version of a new diesel truck, the Power Strokes, Cummins, Duramax. Nobody makes a bad truck these days. And I know that might upset some people, but they're all very, very capable. So if we can resolve the final kind of few nagging issues that these new trucks have, I mean, it's a home run for everybody.
Is that 8-speed? Is the rumor mill saying it's a ZF, or is it a?
Yeah, the ZF Powerline 8-speed.
I don't know anything about it, but I'm gonna have to see what I can find out.
Only know what the internet told me, so.
It's very cool. It was really cool to chat with you. And I want people, I know you get tons of views. You guys get tons of plays and views and everything. But what if people haven't, they don't follow you guys, they want to see kind of the stuff we've been talking about or learn more about fast lift pumps or the EGR things or any of the products you guys are making, how can they connect with you guys and be able to check out what you're doing?
Yeah, easy way to do it. If there's a social media platform, we're on it. Instagram, TikTok, YouTube, LinkedIn. We try to be kind of everywhere to make it easy to get the information. So if you have any social media app, I mean, even Tumblr, we're there, Twitter or X, I guess. So that's the easiest way to get all the information. And then my team, we run the social media. So we pretty much answer questions day and night. I tell people, don't ever hesitate to message us. We'll go, we're enthusiasts too. So we'll go back and forth for hours if we need to. Always message us, call, live chat, all that stuff.
Well, I appreciate you chatting with me today before the truck show event that you have planned. It was cool to be able to chat with you because I've been watching your videos for a really long time and you know, the stuff that you guys do. And I thought, man, there's like 10 questions I want to ask him and it's going to be all over the place with the different stuff. I didn't have just one topic in mind, but appreciate you taking the time today to chat with me. And I look forward to seeing what you guys do as a company and some of the new releases and just some of the products that are out there. I know, like I said, people, they love fast. That name's like synonymous with fueling upgrades. So it's really cool to get to know different sides of the company, different sides of what you guys do.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I mean, I've legitimately been listening to this show for a long, long, long time. So it's good to finally get on here and get to chat with you.
Don't forget, diesel fans, make sure and head on over to Kershaw.KAIUSA.com. Use code 2024DIESEL40 for 40% off MSRP. It's a great way to save some money, get some really cool gear if you need a knife for hunting, fishing, EDC, something around the job site, around the house. Got a ton of choices for different opening mechanisms, blade steel, blade shape, handle materials, and a whole lineup to meet any budget. So we appreciate them offering that code for you guys to be able to save some money and get some really cool gear. Also, Target Sports USA, they have a really cool membership program. It's $99 for a year, and in that year, you get free shipping on any order, whether it's one box or 20 boxes. If you're like me and have hobbies outside of diesel, you know the shipping costs can add up if you're just ordering a couple boxes here and there. So it's a great way to save some money on shipping. Plus, you get a free cleaning kit in your first order, which is really nice to be able to maintain maintain your equipment and make sure it's in the best shape that it can be. Plus, they have two giveaways that you're automatically entered into. The first is an all-expense-paid hunting trip to Colorado. It's 6 days, includes airfare, accommodations, the licensing, and then also complimentary meat processing and shipping back to you. So it's a once-in-a-lifetime trip. You're automatically entered into it, and it's a great way to be able to have a lifetime experience. They also give away an F-150 every year, which is really cool. So you're automatically entered into that as well. So don't forget to head on over to targetsportsusa.com/dieselpc. You'll find all the information there. Till next time, keep the shiny side up.